for today. Glad you came today. We hope the Word of God will speak to your heart. I'll be reading out of the Bible. You can listen along or read if you'd like, either way. I'm going to read a lengthy passage and then talk to you about the woman at the well. John 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, for he must needs go through Samaria. Then he cometh to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Joseph gave to his son, or that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. This is John 4, verse 10. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast no water to draw with, and the well is deep, and from whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the words of God. Thank you for the Spirit of God. And thank you that these two can unite to do great things, Father. This is a work of faith, Lord, the ministry here. We don't believe that we have in our physical abilities and the physical things in this room and in my mind or body, we have what we need to do what needs done. You said, understanding cometh by the Spirit. Natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit. He cannot know them, they're spiritually discerned. But Lord, we know your Holy Spirit is powerful, and he dwells in us. And you promise, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We thank you the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So between the Word of God and the Spirit of God, Lord, we pray that a work could be done in the spirits in the souls of men. Anyone who doesn't know you as Savior would know you as Savior. Those who know you as Savior would find victory. Those who are discouraged, lonely, weak, without strength would be strengthened and changed and transformed to get what they need. And whatever needs to be done, we ask your Spirit to come and do a mighty work in this room and speak to us in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Bible says, Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Yes. But against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Awesome. Jesus came along he was going north and headed up to Galilee. He was coming from Jerusalem, 50, maybe a little less than 50 miles. And along the way, in between was what was called Samaria. Samaria had kind of eventually, it was part of Israel, but eventually it turned into a different area that was kind of frowned upon. It was the Samaritans were a mixed breed of people with the people with the other people in the land that the Jews weren't supposed to be mixed with, and so the Jews were kind of forsook them and didn't really think highly of them. And the Samaritans kind of got a chip on their shoulder because of that, and they didn't get along at all and didn't really deal with each other at all. Jesus, of course, came along and kind of changed everything because. He told a story, and in the story, the hero was a good Samaritan. We don't realize that Samaritan, we use it for a hospital name or something, but that's actually a race of people. They were half-breed people that were frowned upon by the Jews, and Jesus made him the hero just to make the Jews squirm a little bit and make him realize that things are changing and salvation is going to be open to all. In Samaria, outside of town, they Jesus came into town, came near the town, but outside of the town there was a well, and sent his disciples into town, and he came into town. He came near the town, and outside the town there was a well there, and he just sat down on the edge of the well, and there sat Jesus. Town was a wicked town. Town was an immoral town, and suddenly, in the spirit realm, Satan comes up, and some demon who is maybe in charge of Sychar, the name of this town, says, "What are you doing here?" Jesus is coming in this area. He left Jerusalem. He has to pass through here. I want to make sure we don't lose this town. Wherever he goes, things change. Wherever he goes, people listen, people get transformed, people are healed, people are rescued, they're saved, they get the what he says, and we want to make sure that we don't lose this town. He's come this way. Wow, he's never been here before. We got a solid town though. We've got immorality, it's deceived, it doesn't understand the truth. Are you sure he can do a lot? He can make a great change. Where's your strongholds? What are your strengths of this town? How do we know we've got this town? Well, we've got false doctrine, the typical stuff in Samaria. We've got a lot of pride, and people think they're all right and everything. And we've got a lot of immorality. Oh, good, the immorality thing. That ruins a lot of lives. That makes people rebellious against the truth. That's good. Tell me about the immorality. Well, we got people sleeping around, divorce, all kinds of things. We got one woman in this town. She's been married 5 times. She's living with another man. She's been with all the kinds of men in the town. We've got all kinds of immorality in this town. We got a good stronghold here. Okay, good. Because he's coming this way. I don't know if he'll stop here. He might just flow on through. He might just go up to Galilee, and he's tired. It's about time to rest. So we're a little worried he's going to stop by somewhere in this area. And so we've got to work and kind of stir everything up. And make sure that woman, make her really bad. And she's still in our hands. Oh, she's in our hands. She's acting kind of strange, though. You know, she was just talking the other day about how she's thirsty all the time, and I don't know what that's all about, and she seemed to be really weeping at night, saying that her soul just seemed empty and thirsty inside, but I don't know what that's all about. She's still living with the guy. She's still an immoral woman. She's still got a lot of pride and everything else in her, and we've had her since a child. We ruined her life when she was a kid, and we got her. All right, I don't know if I like the sound of that thirsty thing, but just... make sure everyone's riled up. Make sure all the demons are going really powerful and watching those things. By the way, who's that woman there? That's her. Where's she going? She's going outside of town to get water. She gets it every day. Jesus, I think, is at the well. Go work on her. Go send the demons with her. Try to keep her away from Jesus. As a matter of fact, if she's going to talk to him, make sure she's mean to him and nasty to him. And make sure that she's hard to him and tell him how much she loves sin and make a mock at sin and do all the things that we always do. Because she's going, it's a bad time. I don't like the looks of this. Jesus is going where she's going, and she's one of the key people in the city. All right, we'll go out there and we'll try to get her. Out she comes with her bucket. Woman, give me something to drink. Tell him that he's a Jew. He shouldn't even be talking to you. Who does he think he is asking you for a drink? Sir, how is it that thou, being a Jew, is talking to me who's a Samaritan? The Jews, y'all think you're better than us. You have no dealings with us. Ha! She already doesn't like him. It's good. We already got the separation, the division in there. We got the racial thing in there. This is good. We got it all taken care of. Ma'am, if you knew who it was who talked to you right now, you'd ask of me, and I'd give you living water. Be sarcastic. Tell him that he doesn't have anything to draw with. What's he talking about? Is this guy crazy? Who is this guy? Sir, this well is very deep. And by the way, who do you think you are? Father Jacob gave us this well. And do you think you're better than him? That you can do something better than him? That you don't even got a bucket? The well's deep? You can't give me anything. What are you talking about giving me a living water? You don't have anything. We got her. All right. He is not going to like her, and he's going to be done with her, and she's questioning everything. This is good. We got her. Woman, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But in him will be a well springing up into everlasting life, and they will never thirst again, and they'll live forever. Why is this guy talking about being thirsty? I am thirsty. And I've been thinking about how thirsty I've been all the time. And really, my soul is very thirsty. I've been sinning and messing around and sleeping with men and doing all kinds of immorality and doing everything. And my soul's just thirsty. I know I need something else. And I'm parched inside. Why is he bringing this up? This is really weird. Satan, I think we have a problem here. What's going on? He's talking to her and she's doing a little too much thinking. Fight it, man. You got to fight it. Don't let him get her. We want to keep her. She's ours. She is ours. Try pride. Try arguing. Try anything. Go after her, but don't let her get that. Sir, give me this water that I'll never thirst again, and I don't have to come to this well and get a drink again. Oh, no. He's asking for the water. Okay, go call your husband and bring him here. We got him now. She's immoral. She's going to brag on it. She's going to be angry. She's going to let him know who's none of your business who my husband is. Tell him, none of your business. Sir, I don't have a husband. You've rightly said you don't have husband. You've had five. And the man you're living with right now is not your husband. By the way, we love each other. It's just like we're married. No, it's not. That's free outside the sermon. The man you're with is not your husband. Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship. Where did that come from? Distract him. Talk about anything else. Don't talk about this. Just get out of there. Sir, you say you're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. We think we're supposed to worship here. The Samaritans worship at this mountain. You think in Jerusalem. It's all very confusing to me. And I don't really know what the truth is. I don't really know. And you Jews don't even talk to us. It's just this. I want that water, but I'm confused. Woman, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers will worship God anywhere. But they'll worship him in spirit and in truth. And by the way, the Father seeketh such to worship him. He's looking. And he wants to satisfy your thirsty soul. The woman said unto him, I know when Messiah comes. Could this be the Messiah? This guy knows everything. And he's speaking to me, and he's talking about the thirst for the soul, and that's what I have. And he knows about me. And he knows about my husband. He knows about my sin. Could he be the Messiah? Woman, get out of here. Get out of here. What are you doing? We're going to lose her. He's after her soul. He wants her. He's trying to win her to herself. Get that woman out of there. Get her out of there. Get her out of there. She's listening to him. When Messiah comes, he's going to tell us all things. And he's going to save us. Messiah? I that speak unto you, I'm here. I'm Messiah. You met him. Drops her water pot. The demons scream and fly out of her. She believes in the Son of God. She leaves her water pot right there. She was thirsty before, but she got her soul satisfied. Satan, she's leaving. She's going back to town. Well, good. I don't think it's good, sir. I think it's bad. The demons have all been cast out of her. She believes that he's the Messiah. Oh,
You blew it.
All right, well, fine. He's outside of town. The disciples are in town. They're blundering. They'll never do anything for the town anyway. She'll go in and she'll change, but that's fine. We still got the town. Just go along and watch out for everything and make sure nothing bad happens. And let's just try to keep him out of town. We want to keep Sychar. Sir, I got bad news. She's making a ruckus. Come see a man who told me all things ever I did. Hey, everybody, I just met the Messiah. Come outside of town. Messiah's outside of town. You wouldn't believe it. What is wrong with her? That's that woman. Her. She doesn't want anybody telling her all things ever she's done. What is wrong with her? I'm telling you, I'm different. She does look different. Her face is glowing. What is going on here? She's been the nasty, vicious, immoral woman strutting around town, and now she's screaming about Messiah, and she says that he's changed her life, and boy, she looks different, and she's talking different. I got to go see this. Satan, a huge crowd is following her outside of town. We got to tell those men no. We got to fight this thing. Fight it. I don't know what to do. They're all following him, and we're telling them no, but something's drawing them. I think it might be the Bible where it says no man can come to me except the Father draw him. We can't stop this thing. I mean, the crowd, the men are going out there, and she brought him out to Jesus. The disciples are all out there now, and he's getting up on something. He's going to start teaching. Oh, we're going to lose this town. We're going to lose this town. He planned on meeting that woman the whole time. He drew this whole thing out. He picked that one woman to reach his town. Why didn't we see this? Oh, we're going to lose everything. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. I can't believe it. Messiah has come to Sychar. I can't believe it. Jesus, you're amazing. We believe on you. We got to go back and tell everybody, stay here. You know, I'm pretty tired. I think I'll stay here in Sychar for a couple days. I think this town has got a revival coming. No! He's going to stay here. We've had this town decade after century. We had it all. One stinking woman is ruining it all. And he planned it all out, and he got her to come out to him. And now the men are coming, and now he's going into town. Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. And meanwhile, the disciples prayed and said, Master, eat. And he says, I got something more important to do. I got to do the will of God. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and there abode 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said the woman, now we believe, not because. Not, then said they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Sychar was saved. Revival broke out. Great things happened in that town. The Messiah stayed for 2 days and preached, and people all over the town believed. Demons were cast out. Immorality was taken out. Everything was fixed. The town was transformed by the power of God. A good old-fashioned devil-killing revival broke out. Yet it broke out because of one woman meeting Jesus. And one woman went in town and said, you got to meet. I just met the Messiah. He comes, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Because she had a thirsty soul. And Jesus drew her with her thirst and said, I got a well here. Let's just start there. And I'm going to reach this town through you. God puts in every single human being a thirst. Everybody has it.
Yes.
That thirst, you can try all kinds of things, but that thirst is living waters. You were born with that thirst in your soul. You could try drugs. You could try sex. You can try alcohol. You can try immorality. You can try religion. You can try pride. You can try whatever you want to. It won't get satisfied. Oh, you'll have fun for a little while, but inside something's going to be thirsty. Jesus says, I will give you a spring of water in you. You're going to have a fountain flowing up, bubbling up. It's called the Holy Ghost. And inside of you, every day, every hour, anytime you want to drink, you've got the Messiah. You've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you get a drink. Can I tell you, nothing else will satisfy your soul but Jesus. And by the way, Christian, I want to say to you, you might try. You might say, well, I'm saved, but I'm still thirsty. That's because only He can satisfy, and you might get distant from Him. See, a Christian can go out to the world and try to get satisfied from this world, but it ain't going to work. Just because you have Jesus in you does not mean you're satisfied from Him, because you may not be drinking. You may not be spending time with Him. You may not be close to Him. And religion tries it. It never satisfies a soul. And people try all kinds of things. And by the way, your good works won't save you. It won't satisfy your soul. It will not save you from eternal hell. Our sin separates us from God and gives a thirst in our soul. And only Jesus Christ can satisfy that soul, but it's living waters. It's a person that's inside of you. And your soul is satisfied for eternity. And this woman found something so great, she couldn't keep her mouth shut.
Come on now. Thank you, Jesus.
And she was satisfied. You have a thirst in your soul. What have you tried to satisfy it? You can take your catechism. You can go to church. You can be baptized. You can do all that stuff. It's a person who satisfies you.
Amen.
It's not anything I can do for you. It's not anything Open Door can do for you. It is a person named Jesus Christ, and He's what you're looking for. You can say, I'm good enough to go to heaven. I'm a good person. Your good deeds will never satisfy you. There's a thirst in your soul that can only be satisfied by Jesus Christ. That thirst is for salvation to get you to heaven.
Yeah.
It's telling you need Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, you won't go to heaven.
Come on.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's not by you. I'm a good person. That's you. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I can't get to heaven by my good works. You can't get to heaven by your good works. That's why Jesus died. And that soul, that thirst in your soul is screaming to be satisfied. And you need to go to Jesus for it. And Christian, keep on trying everything else, and you can keep on trying, but you're not going to get satisfied to get close to Him.
Amen.
I mean, you spend time with Jesus. Are you thirsty today? Get close to Him.
Yes.
I want to say, secondly, revival can happen anywhere.
Amen.
We're in Seattle, Pastor. This is not the Bible Belt. This ain't Alabama. No, it isn't. This is not the Bible Belt. There is not a church in every corner. There's a coffee stand. Okay, that's all we have in every corner here. There's lots of bad coffee stands, by the way. And you know what? I want to say something. If Sychar can be reached by one woman who is a woman who's sleeping with everybody in town, you reckon God can maybe reach Seattle and Des Moines and Kent and Auburn and Federal Way and SeaTac and Burien? We got a big God. And He says, I can set up divine appointments. I can work it out. I got a plan. I just need to reach that one and that one get excited about me. I got a plan. I can destroy all the works of Satan in that town that he's been working for decades in one conversation. Jesus Christ can do great things still. Jesus Christ can change America. Jesus Christ can change your family. He can change you. You can be a victorious Christian. It's time you realize that God, who can take the woman at the well and change Sychar, He can use you and transform your family, your city, your nation, your world. He says, I seek for one. I sought for a man among them would stand in the gap and take up the hedge that I would not destroy this land, and I found none. He sought for one. God can do big things. Well, Pastor, I know God can do big things with you, and God can do things with Moody, and God can do big things with Luther and Spurgeon, but you don't know me. Did you just read this story? She had had five husbands. She was the Liz Taylor of the first century. And she had five husbands, and she was living with another man. And she just went to go get a drink. But she got a bigger drink. She left her water pot. She never got her physical drink. But she got her spiritual drink. And she got satisfied. And she got full of the Holy Spirit. And she went into town and said, you need to meet Jesus. And God used her, the wicked woman of the town. See, it's not up to you and your ability and how holy you've been in the past and how good, how little baggage you had. This woman had plenty of baggage, plenty of reputation, plenty of bad things in the past, plenty of things she'd like to forget. Yet, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be white like wool. He says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have a God who can use you mightily. I don't care about your past. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care how much Satan's messed you up. I don't care about your baggage. I don't care about your failures. I don't care if you got enough baggage to fill a 747. It don't matter. God can use you. He's a big God. He used a woman at Sychar. He used a woman who had five husbands and was now living with another man and used her to reach the town. It's time we believe in God's ability to use us. It's time we go out and do something big for God. It's time we go out and charge the gates of hell. Remember, it doesn't say that the gates of hell won't smash you down. It says you're going to smash the gates. We're on the offensive. We're God's people. We have the Almighty God of the universe inside of us. We hold the Word of God right here. It's time that we go charging hell with a squirt gun. Come on now. Okay, it's time we go forward. It's time we say, the woman at the well can do it, I can do it. Yeah. Amen. God can use her to change a town. Maybe God can use me to change a town. Yeah. I'm going to believe in God. I see what that woman did and undid all of Satan's plans and all of his mess ups and all the problems. And yes, somebody who's a skeptic and a Christian who doesn't believe God's big anymore can sit there and stand in Sychar and say, well, this town's just like this and it's always going to be like this. You don't know what kind of immorality we have in our town. Or somebody could say, you know what? If Jesus could change Sychar, he can, with one woman at a well, he can change my area, my neighborhood. It's time we believe in God's power. Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. The disciples stood there and said, what happened? We leave you here to go get food in the city, and we come out and everybody's outside of town. You're with this woman who's a, what is she? Jesus says, she's somebody special. And she's part of my plan. And I'm going to use her. And by the way, you're not here hearing this sermon an accident. God draws people. God sets up divine plans. And God said, I'm going to get tired at Sychar and sit in the well. And I got somebody coming because I'm working on a divine plan because I'm a sovereign God who has a plan. You can do great things for God. Quit saying I can't. Quit. You're doubting God. You look at God more than yourself.
Come on now.
Say, who are you to be up here? Nobody. It's him. He told me to be here. I'll be here. But if God does a work in your life, it's not because I'm so smart or I'm such a good preacher or I'm so brilliant. It's none of those things. If God does a work in your life, it's because I yielded to God, and God can use anybody that yields to him. And it's time for you, first of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you don't know heaven's your home, you've never been born again, to get that water in you by being saved. Get that soul satisfied. Secondly, if you've already had your salvation and you're still thirsty, it's because you're trying to get satisfied from this world. You need to get with him for a while. Spend time with him. Thirdly, it's time to believe God can use you.
Amen.
It's time to believe God can use you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Lord, I pray that right now you'd show what you can do in people's lives. I pray, first of all, if someone is not saved today, today would be their day of salvation. They'd be the woman at the well with a thirsty soul, and they'd find satisfaction from Jesus coming into them at salvation. Lord, if I pray, secondly, that you would help the Christians to quit trying the world and sin to satisfy them and find Jesus and spend time with him. They know they have the well, but it's sure they haven't turned in the spigot. They haven't gone down inside and got a drink from you. Lord, I pray thirdly that everybody in here, maybe somebody coming in here feeling like they don't deserve it, they're not worthy, they're too weak, you can never use them, and there's no purpose, and there's maybe no use for living, or whatever it is, you show them today that you got a plan and you can do something with them. And you're a big God, and you kept them alive, and they were here today, and they met you for a reason, and you're going to use them to make the difference. Please, Lord, help us to believe you and help us to be used by you. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, our eyes